There are things we expect from urban living. Trees aren't necessarily among them. If you really like trees, you probably live in a neighborhood that has a few. If you want to live in a city, you'll probably live with fewer trees. And recent research shows that to be truer all the time. A pair of scientists who work for the U.S. Forest Service directed their attention outside the forest and noticed a trend in urban tree cover. It's getting smaller by something like 36 million trees a year. Another shocker, Oregon is in the top five states for losing urban forest, at least by one measure. The research is the work of David Nowak and Eric Greenfield at the Forest Service's Northern Research Station in upstate New York. David Nowak is our guest. He is a senior scientist in forest inventory and analysis. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.
So is the work of your division generally about trees and forests outside of Forest Service boundaries?
My work is particularly, yes. The inventory group I work with does forests in rural areas, and our area focuses on urban forestry.
Mm-hmm. So the study of declining urban tree cover, I understand, has a precedent. And you and Eric Greenfield apparently did similar work in 2012, is that right?
Yes, we looked at 20 cities across the United States, distributed throughout the United States, just to get an idea of what was going on. And we found 17 of the 20 were having statistically significant declines in canopy cover. So then we decided to look at the whole United States, state by state, and see what the pattern was.
How statistically significant? I mean, what hit the threshold for saying, okay, this is noticeable?
Well, because it's a random sample, it has to reach a certain level of change in order to be considered different from zero, which means the trend is moving in that direction. In those cases that we're losing canopy cover. So in the U.S., the statewide, we're talking about 1% change or so was showing up. And it depends on how the sample size falls to be statistically significant, because it's a random sample.
Mm-hmm. So the work then you did recently was much larger than the 2012 research.
Yes, what we did in this case, the 2012 work, we looked at about 2,000 to 5,000 points per city in those 20 cities. In this case, we put 1,000 points per state. So that was 50,000 points across the nation times two, because we had to look at most recent and about 5 years prior to see if the points had changed.
Okay, so 1,000 points, but that's a lot of data points, isn't it?
Yeah, you need to get enough points to get that statistical trend of whether it's different from zero.
And what's the source of the data? Is it just a visual inspection?
It was Google imagery.
Mm-hmm.
So our Google Earth we'd check the date, and it usually had to be high-resolution imagery such that you could see the trees, the buildings. We put down random points and then followed that exact same point approximately 5 years prior to see what was the point. And the years were typically 2009 to 2014. What were the points classified as, tree, building, road, whatever it might be, and did that point change between those years? Because you often get, even though we're losing canopy cover pretty much across the board, we're also gaining canopy cover in certain areas. So the net change is a loss.
Okay. That's good to know. So there are places where there actually is canopy cover growing, as you hope trees will do, and then places where they're being taken out, but the net change is a loss.
Right. So we are gaining, let's say, on average, we're losing 1% over that five-year period. We are losing about 1.5%, but we're gaining about 0.5% back. So the net loss is minus 1%. So it's not all loss. It's just that loss overall, that you're showing a loss overall. We are having some gains coming back in to offset some of the losses.
All right, but the overall trend is that the losses are coming faster than the gains.
Yes, 23 out of the 50 states were statistically significant. I think 47 showed a loss.
Wow.
But not all of them had statistically significance. They didn't have enough of a change to say it was statistically significant from zero.
Well, the top line of the highlights David Nowak pulled out in the published study is not so shocking. I mean, you know, it says between 2009 and 2014, U.S. urban tree cover dropped from 40.4% to 39.4%. But then you give us the numbers of trees, and that's where the shock comes in.
Yeah, it adds up. Every acre has hundreds of trees in it, so when we lose an acre, we're losing a lot of trees. So, but these trees provide a lot of benefits, so the effect on mass, it's all about the leaves, not necessarily the number of trees, but the acreages of cover that we have. The leaves are where most of the benefits are derived from, but it adds up to millions of trees.
All right, 36 million per year, is that right?
Yes.
Wow. So here it is, nationally annual urban community tree cover loss, 175,000 acres.
Per year.
Yeah, per year. 36. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
David Nowak's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a senior scientist with forest inventory and analysis working for the U.S. Forest Service and the Northern Research Station in Syracuse, New York. We're talking about urban tree cover. Your thoughts on urban tree cover and maybe some observations from your own community. Welcome here on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I guess the next big question is why? Why are we losing all this tree cover, this canopy, this leafy coverage?
That's the big question. What we do know is some of that loss is due to development, approximately about a third of it that we know. Because when we look at the images, the tree is there, and then all of a sudden there's a building there or a parking lot. We know that's an obvious loss due to development. In other cases, the tree is just gone. So we don't know the reason why, and there's a bunch of reasons why a tree would disappear. One is the homeowner or the owner doesn't like the tree anymore. It could have been perfectly healthy, but decided, I choose to cut that tree down. Others could be insects and diseases. Old age, trees don't live forever. Some cases, fire could come through. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why trees would go out. But if the tree disappeared without an obvious reason, such as being replaced by a parking lot, we wouldn't know why the tree was gone. We just know it's not there.
Being familiar with urban forestry as you are, I wonder if you have a sense of how many communities have some regulations in place to protect trees, to make sure that if you got a tree standing there, you don't just take it down for no good reason.
Yeah, I don't know what the total number is. I know some communities do, and more communities are doing that, and they're also setting canopy cover goals because they're recognizing the value that trees provide to society. So they're trying to sustain the canopy cover and that's in some way stem the loss or get the forest to come back through various actions.
So was this just a data study? I mean, just a look at the canopy from above, or were there some side bits of research here, just sort of, you know, check with communities to find out why they might have lost some trees other than through development?
Well, we have different projects going on. This one was just an assessment nationwide of what the trend is and basically how much do we have in urban forests across the nation and how it's been changing. We also have through our forest inventory and urban inventory program that we're establishing. We're in about 30 cities right now and trying to get up to around 200 nationwide, where we actually go in the field and not just do it from the air, but monitor permanent plots in conjunction with the cities to see how these populations are changing. So when we say 36 million trees are covered, now we can look at is it by a certain age class in a certain land use, certain species. It gives us much more detailed information on what is actually going on in the cities instead of a broad-scale approach that we used using the aerial imagery.
Now, I noticed that that the second data point in the highlight list in the publication of the research is actually not about trees but about impervious cover, which I assume means asphalt and concrete?
Yes. So sidewalks, parking lots, buildings. And it's pretty much a one-to-one ratio in terms of swapping. So when we lose 1%, we gain 1%, but doesn't mean it's directly one-to-one. If that makes sense. Overall, it's a one-to-one change, but it doesn't mean impervious is swapping where all the trees were. Impervious could take over some grass areas, it could take over other areas, but the net swap seems to be about even, but it's not all the tree cover loss is due to impervious.
Okay, so you have tree cover loss going on, and you have impervious surfaces increasing, but not necessarily in the same places.
Yes.
Okay. So, but the effect of those two trends combined then would seem to exacerbate the issue of having fewer leaves covering your community.
It does that, and it also, when you have more impervious surfaces, we tend to generate more heat because those impervious surfaces absorb heat and re-radiate it back, the parking lots and the buildings. So we tend to have, I call it a double whammy in some ways. We're losing canopy cover, which is a good thing to have, and we're gaining impervious cover, which is a useful thing to have, but also has some environmental problems associated with in terms of water flow and temperatures.
Is there the heat island effect? I know I've read about a few times. I'm not entirely clear on what it is. Does that factor into part of what you're talking about?
Yes, it basically, having trees evaporate water reduces the heat island effect. Heat island effect is basically that urban centers tend to be warmer than the rural environments, and it's because we lose evaporation because we have less trees to evaporate the water. We also increase impervious surfaces, which absorb and hold that heat. So this swapping of adding impervious and losing tree cover is not only decreasing canopy cover, but it will exacerbate the heat island effect.
David Nowak, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a senior scientist in forest inventory and analysis for the U.S. Forest Service at the Northern Research Station in Syracuse, New York. He is the co-author with Eric Greenfield of a recent study called Declining Urban and Community Tree Cover in the United States. The big issue is that annually, it looks like the loss across the country, 175,000 acres or 36 million trees. Your thoughts welcome on the Jefferson Exchange. Join us by phone at 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I notice you place a dollar amount on the loss of urban forest. David, how did you calculate that?
Well, we did various studies nationwide in urban areas looking at pollution removal by combining the tree data with the local environmental data. That's what we do in our unit. We model what we call ecosystem services or the benefits derived by trees. So we looked at pollution removal, state by state, energy conservation. So when you plant trees near buildings, they shade the building and cool the building down. Or in the wintertime, a bad thing, they shade the buildings and increase energy use. So we looked at that. And then if you change building energy use, you alter the emissions from the power plants, which then puts pollution back in the atmosphere. So we did a study on that. The pollution removal side is basically the leaves of the trees out there during the daytime when they're exchanging gases and cooling the environment. They're also absorbing pollutants or intercepting pollutants, which reduce pollution concentrations, which have impact on human health. And we also did a national study on carbon storage and sequestration. So as a tree grows, it takes carbon from the atmosphere in terms of issues of climate change and stores that carbon in the tissue. So nationwide, we estimate about annually the urban forest in the United States. And urban forests occupy about 3.6% of the contiguous United States. And within those 3.6% of the land area are about 40% or 39% canopy cover now. We estimate those trees produce an annual value of about $18.3 billion per year just for those four benefits: pollution removal, carbon, energy conservation, and avoided emission. There are many other benefits that we haven't estimated, but so it's a conservative estimate in terms of the benefits.
All right. So just in those categories you're talking about, that's in the billions, and the loss of those loses what, $96 million a year?
$96 million a year is we're losing the annual canopy cover in urban areas.
One of the things that really got me surprised here is I looked at the list, looking at the two states that we serve, Oregon and California. Oregon is in the top five per percentage loss of cover, which, you know, for a state that prides itself on having lots of trees, this is faintly shocking.
Yeah, they do have a lot of trees. I mean, Oregon dropped from 32.9% tree cover in urban areas to 30.8%, so it was one of the largest losses. So in essence, overall, they lost actually 2.3% but gained 0.2% back. So you're still getting a little bit of that swapping, but it's one of the higher ones, which is, I mean, it's one of the more green states, if you will, but this was just in the urban areas, too.
You know, I haven't asked yet how you identified urban areas, David, because, I mean, just about every place in Oregon that's got more than 2,000 people is considered a city. Is that an urban area of what you did?
We use census data. So urban is defined by population density from the census, and communities are defined as boundaries. So Portland, the political boundary of Portland, would be a community. Not all of Portland would necessarily be urban, which would meet the population density threshold of being classified as urban, which is approximately 500 people per square mile. So basically we use census data as defined by communities and defined by urban.
Okay, people per square mile, 500. Let's take a call here. Cynthia and Talent is on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David Nowak from the Forest Service.
Yeah, someone once said that the suburbs are where they cut down trees and name streets after them, which I thought was very appropriate. I wanted to comment on solar and shading and property use, and I have a couple of lovely shade trees, a sycamore and a large maple that shade my house. And then I did want to go solar, so I was able to put that on a separate building on the property, which worked out great for me. But I was thinking for other situations, as we try to squeeze more people into our cities, maybe several smaller trees rather than one large shade tree and taller buildings with solar on top, so the building's actually taller than the small trees that might shade the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Integrating the solar and the trees, I think, is kind of a puzzle that is worth looking at.
All right. Thanks for that, Cynthia.
Thank you.
And David, I wonder how much your department might get into that.
Yes, this issue of solar conflict with trees is becoming more and more topic as we move more to solar energy. And smaller trees, the problem with moving to smaller trees, and you could do that to gain access to the solar panels, is either move the panels up above the canopy. But larger trees, typically a large tree over 30 inches produces about 60 to 70 times more benefit than a small tree less than, let's say, 3 inches. So you may be gaining, what you might be doing is, by going to the smaller trees, is losing some of the conservation value. The energy use in the building might go up because the tree is not shading as much now and you're losing the evaporative cooling, but you are gaining from the solar panels, but you're also losing the other benefits associated with the tree. So it's a tough trade-off. If you're looking just at energy, possibly swapping trees might be a good idea, but then you're giving up other co-benefits that come from the trees, such as wildlife habitat, aesthetics, reduction in water flows, and things like that. So we are looking into that more. It's what we're trying to do. We have a tool called iTree that tries to look at how do we design landscapes and look at the total benefits of trees. But this issue of solar access is becoming more and more popular in some ways of how to deal with that, the conflicts between the two.
All right, yeah. So bigger trees generally provide bigger benefits, though, is what you're
saying. Correct, but they also provide more shade, which might block the solar panels.
Right. So to get back to the state-by-state, California looks pretty good by comparison with Oregon, but still lost close to 8,000 acres a year, Oregon 3,500. Did anybody actually gain in tree cover, I guess, is what we end up asking here?
Yes, there were a few states that had slight gains. They weren't positive. I think Hawaii was one. And it looks like it was the Midwest. It was Wyoming and South Dakota, but they're very small gains. And Hawaii is a little bit different, but when you talk about Wyoming and South Dakota, there's not much tree cover there to start.
Mm-hmm.
So the trend might be that they're adding more in, which is good. But those are the only three that showed positive trends.
And, David, were there any places in the country that didn't gain impervious cover? Or is that just a standard thing in the lower 48?
Boy, I don't think so. Pretty much impervious cover was going up across the board. I have to check the numbers, but my recollection is if there is any that lost impervious, it would be very few.
All right. Ultimately, does this get handed off to, has this become more sociology than forestry, convincing people not to live in cities or to live in cities and yet keep trees, that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, because it's urban, by definition, there's people. Mm-hmm. And so they're heavily involved with the management. The idea we want to get is the information out is, Which direction are we going? Will it continuously go down? Probably not. Nature cycles through time, but humans have a huge influence on what this system will be. And understanding which way we're going, if we don't want it to go that direction, maybe we can do something about it. But it involves people making possibly different decisions than they're doing now in terms of mowing or development to try and sustain the canopy cover within our cities.
It is some fascinating stuff to read. The original report is called Declining Urban and Community Tree Cover in the United States by David Nowak, our guest, and his partner Eric Greenfield. It is in the journal Urban Forestry and Urban Greening for May of this year. And David is a senior scientist in forest inventory and analysis at the USDA Forest Service's Northern Research Station based in Syracuse, New York. Thanks for joining us today in The Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.